Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Luke chapter 3. If you're able, let's stand together, the book of Luke chapter 3, the book of Luke chapter 3. As we continue in our lessons, we'll be going to the book of Mark in a little bit, because more is said about John the Baptist and his demise there than is found here in the book of Luke. But Luke chapter 3, beginning at verse 18, Luke 3, 18. And many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done, added yet this above all, that he shut up John in prison. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also, being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove unto him. And a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this wondrous opportunity to come this day and to sing songs of praise. We thank you for the specials. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to give back to you as you have given to us. And Lord, we just thank you for the Word of God and what a blessing it is to read from it. Be with this service, be with these people. And may we say, Lord, when we leave, it was good to have been in the house of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen. Luke 3:18, and many other things preached he unto the people. We know that he preached repentance. We know that he preached that they should bring forth fruits worthy of that repentance. We know that he preached brotherly love and honesty in business and restraint and contentment. We know that these were things that he preached. We know that he preached that one mightier than I cometh. Talking about Jesus Christ, the Messiah. But he obviously also spoke about morality. Because Herod was bothered by what he said. And we'll study more about that in the book of Mark. But adding to the fact that Herod didn't like what he heard, and for his new wife's sake, he had him put in prison. And added to all this, it says that he put John in prison. Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Mark, chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, and we'll begin reading at verse 14. We are glad that the Gospels have different portions of things that happened, give us a little bit more information. We'll begin reading at verse 14, Mark chapter 6. And it begins, and King Herod heard of him. Now, when we see the word him, you may think he's talking about John the Baptist. No, he's talking about Jesus. When he had heard of Jesus. Now, he did not necessarily know who Jesus was, but notice, for his name was spread abroad. Whose name was spread abroad? Jesus' name was spread abroad. But when he heard about him, it says, and he said that John the Baptist has risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. May I say this quickly? This will be at the end of the sermon. But it's interesting that John's life was such that he could be confused with Jesus. Would anybody confuse you with Jesus? Is your life such that people would say truly, they are Jesus-like? See, that's what the word Christian means. Christ-like. We are called a Christian nation. Are we truly Christ-like? Well, not anymore. We are far more interested in being entertained, and we are far more interested in what the stock markets are doing than what is happening in the house of God. Because I guarantee you there are more people today that aren't going to church than are going to church. And we are no longer Jesus-like. Continuing verse 15. Others said that this is Isaiah or Elijah. And continuing, and others said that it is a prophet or as one of the prophets. But when Herod heard thereof, he said, it is John whom I, what? Beheaded. He is risen from the dead. John preached and it got his head removed. He was not the first prophet to be martyred, and he was not the last one to be martyred. There are still those who, for the cause of Christ, lose their head or are killed. Notice, we'll continue verse 17. For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. Now, who had he married? Herodias. And who did Herodias, who had she been married to? Philip. We find here a problem, don't we? Yes, we do. Verse 18. For John had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him and would have killed him. But she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and an holy, and observed him. And when he had heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. May we say there's a struggle between darkness and light, and it was never more apparent than in Herod and his relationship with John the Baptist. We see one here that was an ambassador of Christ, and we see another here that was an ambassador of the evil one. We find one that wanted to serve the Lord fully. We had another that wanted to live like the world. And so you have a conflict, because whenever you have a meeting between good and evil, there will be a conflict. You know, we have storms when fronts meet. We have problems when good meets evil. That's why many in the world today hate the church. They hate the Word of God. They hate preachers. And they hate Christians because they want to live in their evil, sinful ways. Herod is a perfect picture that one sin will always lead to another, and to another, and to another. Sin never is by itself. It always reproduces itself. It always grows. Point number one, see Herod warned of his sin. See Herod warned of his sin. It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. May I quickly say here, be it Nathan, who confronted King David, or John the Baptist, who confronted Herod the Tetrarch, immorality is immorality is immorality is immorality, no matter who is doing it. Be it the king, or be it the lowest of maids, it is still immorality. And immorality, unfortunately, is running rampant in our country today, even to the point that if you preach against it or talk against it, you're the bad guy. Because after all, you're being judgmental. No, I'm not being judgmental. The Bible says it's wrong. And if the Bible says it's wrong, it's what? It's wrong. Now, may I say this? We can argue with it all we want. It doesn't change that it is still wrong. One plus one is what? Two. What if I say it's three? What if I say it's three all the rest of my life? What if I tell you one plus one is three? I just know it is. Wrong. And immorality is wrong. No matter what we say, it is wrong. The message has been delivered by prophets and priests, pastors and preachers. Some will listen, most will not. They prefer to hear pleasant messages. But the message of the prophets and pastors and preachers wasn't and isn't meant to make one feel good, but to warn them. So the prophets and pastors and preachers have been and are still today persecuted, mocked, laughed at, ignored. If the message is disregarded, then comes calamity, judgment, destruction. Paul said to the churches of Galatia, "If I pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ." The object of the pastor is to be one that warns. And Herod was warned. Number two, see Herod listening due to fear. Verse 20 says, "For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and holy, and observed him, and when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly." Like many, Herod was willing to try religion. Have you ever known anybody that tried religion? They said, "I'll see what it does for me." And then after a week or two, because nothing spectacular has happened, and life continues much as it is, they say, "Well, I tried religion, and I'm going on." We know of many people who have tried religion, but most fall by the wayside because they forget that serving God and serving the Lord is about Him and not about them. It's not about making us happy and fulfilled. It's about pleasing our Lord. Do you agree with that statement? That you are here not for your benefit only, but also that you may serve the Lord with gladness, praising His name. In the parable about the sower who went forth sowing the word, we find that there were those who received the word with gladness, but soon they fell away because of tribulation, hard times. Many people think, "If I'm close to God, I'll never have another hard time in my life." Is that true? Absolutely not. Just ask the Apostle Paul, who talks about the thorn in the flesh that he had to live with. They fall away because of cares of this world. They fall away because of the deceitfulness of riches. Our nation is hung up on money. Do you agree with that statement? Our nation is hung up on money. Now, yes, it's good to have money. There's nothing wrong with having it, but we love it. We are always desiring more of it. We are never content. And so we are confused. Isaiah 55:7 tells us, "Let the wicked forsake his ways." The problem is we don't want to think we're wicked. We want to think, "Well, I just do little sins." Well, is a sin a sin? It's sin is a sin, and we are to forsake our wicked ways. Number three, see Herod enslaved by the opinions of others. Verse 17 says, "And bound him in prison for Herodias' sake." We see here the voice of lust gets the victory over the voice of conscience and of God. The voice of lust, and it runs wild in today's society. In pleasing Herodias, he turned from the divine warning. The divine warning was repent, do right, do right. May I ask you a question? Who is influencing you today? Do you think that there are people who are trying to influence you? Absolutely. What do you think commercials are? They're trying to influence you. Why do you think there are advertisements in newspapers? What do you think keeps the U.S. mail going? It's all the advertisements we get. Right, Dell? Yes. We are being influenced. The other day I was in a store and the cashier was there, and she handed me back my money. I don't think she was 17. She could have been 18. She had tattoos on her wrist. And I thought to myself, who do you know that has tattoos on their wrist? Why? She was influenced by someone else. The other day I was walking into the library over here at the Clinton Macomb Library. And for you that live in Clinton and Macomb, thank you for paying your taxes so that I can have that nice library to go visit. I appreciate it. But as I was walking in, there was a teenage girl walking towards me. She had blue hair. No, it was blue. It was blue hair. Sitting inside the area that you first walk in, on the bench, there were three girls, and one of them had black lips. I'm thinking, here comes the girl with the blue hair. Here's the girl with the black lips. And what was funny is the girl with the black lips began to mock the girl with the blue hair. I thought that was hilarious. I just wanted to burst out in laughter because she was mocking the girl with the blue hair and with her black lips. Do you think those two came up with this all by themselves? They have blue hair and black lips? Somebody influenced them. Someone is influencing our teenagers. Parents, you better be the one influencing them in a positive way. Who are those who are companions? Because our companions are the ones who influence us the most. And sometimes we have to change friends. And sometimes even as older people, we have to decide we're not going to be influenced by these people because they're taking us in the wrong direction. Number four, is see Herod pleased with a passing show. Sometimes a moment in our life can change everything. It can change everything. Verse 21. For Herod feared John. That's not what I want. Verse 21. And when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday. Do you like birthdays? I hate birthdays. I'm with you, Laura Jones. I don't need any more. I don't mind just staying at 59 for the rest of my life. I don't even like that, but continuing. And when a convenient day was come that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords, high captains, and chief estates of Galilee. And when the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee. The daughter of Herodias danced, and it pleased Herod. Now, there are many speculations as to this dance. But we know whatever it was, it made him giddy. To the point that he said to this young lady, maybe lady's the wrong term, to this young woman, whatever you want up to the half of my kingdom, I will give it to you. He was lusting after her. Who was this? Who's his niece? Dr. James Smith writes, the passage from hearing John gladly down to being pleased with the dance of a strumpet is very short. He went from hearing John to being influenced by this one that was dancing. When the cup of salvation has been deliberately rejected, they will most often grasp the poisonous cup of sinful pleasures. And may I say this, it's a whole lot easier to get into the cup of sin than it is to get out of the cup of sin. The best way to stop a sin is never to have started the sin. The best way to stop doing that which is wrong is never to have done what is wrong. And he was influenced by this. Number five, see Herod surrendering his dignity. Verse 23, and he sware unto her, whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it to thee unto the half of my kingdom. May I say this, sin first interests. Sin first interests. Then it excites, and then it captivates. Ask Samson. Ask Achan, who saw the goodly Babylonian garment and the silver and the gold, and he took it and he buried it. Ask Gehazi, who was not pleased that Naaman was cured and that it didn't cost him anything. And he said, I'll go after him and I will say that the prophets have come and they need some things. And he took things. He stole things. Captivate us. And sin would do the very same thing. Thousands of young believers have allowed the God of pleasure to dance before their eyes. Their passions have been inflamed. And they have sacrificed their testimony to the God of this world. And we see it over and over again in our lives. Preachers preaching their hearts out so that people would be warned of evil. And then people go in, their eyes wide open, right into the sin. And it takes their life and changes it forever. Yielding to temptation leads to being led captive by the devil and his will. I was at a men's meeting where a pastor said we have about 10 seconds to do the right thing. When the temptation is there, you only have a few seconds to do the right thing or you will succumb to the evil. Number 6, see Herod driven by compulsion. Beginning at verse 24. And she went forth and said unto her mother, what shall I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. And she came in straightway with haste unto the king and asked, saying, I will that thou give me by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist. Oh, how sad that is. Verse 26, and the king was exceeding sorry, yet for his oath's sake, and for their sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her. And immediately the king sent an executor and commanded his head to be brought. And he went and beheaded John in the prison. Herod, I'm sure, was rather startled when she asked for the head of John the Baptist. I mean, let's be honest, we're having a birthday party here. Well, we've been having a good time. And suddenly you're going to bring in the fact that you want somebody's head cut off? But he had sold himself to the lust of this young dancer. He'd become ensnared, and he had become a slave to his passions. And may I say this, I'm sure alcohol was involved. Alcohol creates a ton of problems, folks. And may I say this, that sin pleasures ripen to terrible demands. James 1:15 says, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And number 7, no amens. Number 7, see Herod remembers his past. For it tells us that in verse 16, but when Herod heard thereof, he said, this is John whom I've beheaded. He hears of Jesus and confuses it for John the Baptist. We find that the words and the works of Jesus revived the message that Herod had heard. May I say this, that there is no grave deep enough to bury your sin? That if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will spend all eternity in hell. There is not some point in time in which Jesus will say, well, they've spent enough time there, let them release them. No, it's for all eternity. You must do what is right. Today, our memorization verse was, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Have we been covered by the blood of Christ? Herod was warned. He ignored it. And he went from sin to sin. May I say this, have you taken the warning to heart and gotten things right? Is your life today one that represents our Lord in a positive way? Who's influencing us? Sometimes we have to get rid of things so that they don't influence us anymore. What are you willing to do for the Lord? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. Bless this invitation. May the Spirit move. May hearts be touched. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.